What's going on, Blue Jays fans, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Blue Jays as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. I first want to say thank you to all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Of course, you can find my work on Twitter at Weiss Sports, where I appear in Sportsnet, ESPN's The Undefeated, the Toronto Star, as well as play-by-play broadcasting for Saga 960 AM Radio. The Locked On Blue Jays podcast is available and free on all podcasting platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
On today's show, we're continuing our player review episodes. We're going to do things a little bit differently today because we're going to be bunching together some player reviews and actually looking at a position. Yes, the third base position. It's certainly one of the hot button topics for the Toronto Blue Jays heading into the offseason. So we're going to be talking about that. And of course, who else to bring on but my co-host and MLB analyst, Jen Smith. Jen, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, happy Halloween.
Yes, we are recording this episode on Halloween. We of course, saw some, tweets of some athletes getting into it, and I think not to cross over sports too much, but the Toronto Raptors, I think, had quite the Halloween party, of course, and it's always cool to see athletes, show off interesting costumes.
Yeah, there have been some really good ones. I believe Robbie Ray's son dressed up as Boba Fett.
That's awesome. I think Robbie Ray, I think I saw some little kid dress up as Robbie Ray too, with the tight pants and whatnot. So, pretty funny all around, and great to see people getting creative. But of course, Jen, as Halloween, the clock strikes to November. I mean, we're getting closer and closer to not only the end of the baseball season, but of course, really into the height of the off season. And that's why I'm bringing you back on again, is we're going to be chatting about third base, because that was certainly one of the topics that the Blue Jays front office was asked about during their end of season media availability. It's one of the positions, frankly, that still needs to be addressed on this team. And we're going to get into some of the players who tried third base in 2021, including Kevin Biggio, Santiago Espinal, Braylon Valera. But how would you sort of evaluate right now where the Blue Jays are at when it comes to the third base position?
Well, first of all, do you think the average Blue Jays fan could name all six players who started games at third base for the Toronto Blue Jays this past season?
You know what? I think they'd probably mention the three that I just mentioned, Jen, and then they would probably stop there.
Probably, right? It was a revolving door at third base. Kevin Biggio was sort of given the reins to begin with. That didn't work out very well for multiple reasons, including injuries to Kevin. And so, ultimately it was Santiago Espinal who ended up, mostly taking over the position at third base and doing a relatively decent job. But it is a question mark this offseason, depending on where you are placing your value. So clearly, with Santiago Espinal, with Braylon Valera, with potentially Kevin Biggio, although I would suggest he's probably not looking at playing third base very much in the future. And of course, with Kevin Smith in the mix, one could argue that the Blue Jays don't have to go out and get a third baseman this offseason, right? And this has been addressed, by Ross Atkins. He said, "I think we don't have to do it." And then he continued, "There are ways for us to field teams without signing a third baseman, but it is an area that we will obviously be thinking about in free agency and trade." So very non-committal statement there. And I, like I said, I think depending on who you asked, you know, within this fan base, you know, some would say, you know, Espinal did, you know, a decent job this past off season, let him run with it and, you know, spend money upgrading other positions. Others would say Espinal does not possess the pat, the power that you sort of associate with third base. So I think this is going to be really, really interesting this offseason.
Well, I think the big thing, just big picture, when you're looking, you know, third base is one of the real tough positions to play in baseball, in the infield. It's one of the most important too, right? Because not only you have to make those long throws to get guys out at second, or of course the longest throw first, but you know, you gotta, you know, play good defense as well when the ball gets, you know, line drive to third base, hard hit balls to third base. And we saw it consistently, especially with Calvin Biggio there. Like, I remember there were some games early on in the season where, like, it was tough. Like it was tough watching him try to tackle that. And you got to win games, right? You know, you got to win ball games. And when your defense at third base just isn't cutting it, it's a real problem. And look, I think as much as you could argue that, look, the revolving door, despite that, the Blue Jays still got over 90 wins. They still were in a position to make the playoffs. It's definitely something that this front office is going to need to fill that hole, and not only fill that hole to increase defense, but also you need to get someone, I would argue, with a better bat than the Calvin Biggio or the Santiago Espinal.
Oh, absolutely. I would make that argument. And I stated that on the last pod, right? That if Santiago Espinal is the opening day third baseman, I'll go out and buy his jersey. You know, because I'm feeling fairly confident that he will not be the starting third baseman for this team when next season begins. So yeah, I think, you know, there are a lot of, and we'll do targets, you know, later on, but there are a lot of potential targets that the Blue Jays could go after to fill that third base position. You know, I'm not sure that they have what they need in-house.
So let's start with sort of looking at some of those players currently that are in-house right now. I mean, you know, Calvin Biggio, we just talked about him. What did you see, Jen, about him in 2021? Because, you know, I mean, again, this is someone that came into the league again, same time, same year as Vlad did, as Bo did in 2019. And I remember the conversation around him in 1920 was, this is someone that obviously is a great utility guy, right? That he can, you know, play different positions and whatnot. I think the key thing with him is, again, like, he just didn't have the sample size. Like, I mean, he only played 79 games in 2021, but I don't necessarily know what Calvin Biggio is going to be, and even if he's going to be in the Blue Jays' long-term plans.
Yeah, I would agree with that because, you know, he's another player from whom we have not seen any consistency, right? And last season, between the, you know, poor plate appearances, you know, he slashed 224, 322, 356 with a weighted runs created plus of 84. You know, between that and the injuries, you know, it is really sort of difficult to see him fitting in as an everyday player. You know, he made 49 starts at third base, ultimately played 52 games at third base. He made 9 errors, 6 fielding, 3 throwing errors. That's, you can't have that, obviously, right? Not at the hot corner. So, you know, I think he's probably not in the mix, other than maybe to, you know, fill in one day here or there when necessary. you know, but he'll be interesting because, you know, will he, for example, play second base if Semien goes elsewhere? Will the Jays will the Jays have Biggio play second and go out and acquire a third baseman, for example? Or if they were to, let's say, lose an outfielder, let's just say that they traded, I don't know, Grichuk, right? Does Cavan sort of fill in the outfield more, right? So, yes, I think that he is sort of that super utility player, but I don't know that he's any more than that at this point.
Yeah, and I think what we saw in those games where the defense just didn't cut it. I mean, you know, you can't keep trying that, right? Like, because
no,
we know how pivotal each game is. We know that this team wants to get better. And if you're going to have to make the playoffs, you're going to have to win more than 91 games. And, you know, you just can't afford to be in this trial and error phase when you're in the AL East and you want to get into the postseason.
Right, exactly. As they keep saying, as the front office keeps saying, they have to get better. There's just no way around it, especially being in the AL East, right? If 91 wins isn't going to cut it, then you have to upgrade at every place possible, right? Because you need more than just that one more win, it seems, right? Because that one extra win, okay, so now you have a play-in game, but that's still not necessarily getting you anywhere, you know, within the postseason. So, you know, ultimately they have to have their sights set on winning the AL East, right? Adding enough wins to compete for the division title.
With MLB analyst Jen Smith, this is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. We're talking about third base today on the podcast and some of the, you know, players that played third base, the revolving door, as Jen described, about this position. And we're going to be right back. But first, let me talk to you about DirecTV. Today, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part? There's no annual contract. So stop waiting and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. All right, we're back. Lucas Weiss, MLB analyst Jen Smith, is the Locked On Blue Jays podcast. We're talking about third base today on the show. We just chatted about Cavan Biggio, Jen. Santiago Espinal, interesting guy. I mean, really interesting, because I think, again, he's someone, like I said with Cavan, where, you know, you don't necessarily know who he is yet. And whether he can have the large enough sample size to play at third base. The interesting thing to me was what he did in September. And I think that's got Blue Jays fans very fascinated, because he had a very solid September when the Blue Jays were in the hunt for the playoffs. How would you evaluate Santiago Espinal's season? Because, again, he's a fascinating player to me.
Yeah, I mean, he stepped into a role that I don't think, you know, he was expected to take over. He started 62 games at third base, but appeared in a total of 81 games where he played third base, slash 311, 376, 405, with a weighted runs created plus of 115, 114 OPS plus. I don't think people would have expected that from him, to be completely honest. I mean, you know, and as you said, he, in September, he had a great month when those games were, you know, every single game really was a must win. And that's not, you know, overstating things. So he's demonstrated that he can perform, you know, under pressure, but as you said, it's not enough of a sample size to know whether or not that can actually carry over into next season and actually, you know, carry through 162 game season, right? He only had 246 plate appearances.
Right.
So are those numbers sustainable? It's absolutely impossible to tell from that sample size. Defensively, you know, again, he had a fairly strong season, you know, a +8 defensive run saved. StatCast pegged him at being worth +5 outs above average, which was, I believe, 8th best amongst third basemen in MLB. You know, that's pretty decent given the fact that he was not, you know, I don't think probably meant to get as much time at third base as he did. So, you know, it's no disrespect to Espinal when I sort of joke that if he's the opening day starter at third base, that I'll get his jersey. I'm just not sure that the Jays necessarily want to roll the dice on him at such an important position.
Right. But I do think, though, that he will probably be involved with the team, maybe, excuse me, on a more backup role, maybe, especially if they bring someone in via trade or free agency. Because I do, like, you know, if I'm the front office, you look at these numbers, and again, small sample size, but you got to be excited. Like, you got to be excited at the potential there. I mean, I remember, like, his first game back at the Rogers Center, like the first game back for the Blue Jays at the Rogers Center. I mean, he made this amazing barehanded over the shoulder grab. And he had some highlight reel plays. Like, he had some really unique plays on defense. The hitting might be a little bit of a question mark for me just because of the fact, sure, I mean, look, he did end the season strong. I mean, when you think of, you know, the 311, 376, 405 slash line, 13 doubles, 2 home runs, 17 RBIs. You know, he would walk 22 times this year compared to his 30 strikeouts. So he's getting on base as well. I mean, heck, he even stole bases. He added 6 stolen bases. So you like what you see there, but I do agree with you that the defense, was this just a last push to the finish burst that he had? Is this going to last a 462 games? And can the Blue Jays afford to have someone like Espinal where maybe his bat is only good for a little bit? It's not great for the whole 162. I think they're looking for someone that can do both, have great defense, plus also fit in this powerful lineup with the prolific hitters that they have.
Right. I think so too. And, you know, Steamer projections have him taking a bit of a step backwards next season. They have him slashing 268, 325, 375 with a 1.3 F4 in comparison to the 2.2 that he was worth in 2021. So, you know, projections would suggest that the numbers he put up in that small sample size are not quite sustainable, right? And we know that the Blue Jays have to add some, you know, a big bat this offseason. They have to add some versatility. They keep talking about it, right? The front office keeps talking about how they need to add a different type of hitter to the lineup. So we're thinking that means switch hitter or a left-handed batter, obviously. Somebody maybe with some power, or somebody who can get on base. And so, you know, depending, like, you know, again, there's only so much sort of money to go around and there's only so many prospects to trade. We are assuming that Marcus Semien is not signing with this team. So you have an upgrade that needs to be made at second base. And ideally you would make an upgrade to third base. You still also need starting pitching, assuming that Ray is gone, potentially Matz is gone. So there are a number of really large holes that need to somehow be filled, right? Can all of them actually be filled outside of who they currently have? Probably not. So that's where this front office has to, you know, sort of piece it all together. And that's their job, right? They put out to their baseball operations team over 30 very specific questions. So I it'll be really, really interesting to see how they are able to upgrade this offense and this defense.
Hold that thought about the front office upgrading offense and defense. We're going to be taking a quick break. I'm Lucas Weiss. That's MLB analyst Jen Smith. You are listening to the Locked On Blue Jays podcast as part of the Locked On Podcast Network. But first, let's check in with our friends at Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's truly something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their faves. Now, if you don't know the Built Bar flavors well, you're missing out. I mean, a wide selection from raspberry to mint brownie, salted caramel, strawberry, orange. There is one to fit anyone's taste. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, but they're also healthy too. I mean, you can't go wrong with 17 to 18 grams of protein. Calories range from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, only 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. Amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Go to built.com and use the promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. All right, we're back on the latest episode of Locked On Blue Jays, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Lucas Weiss, that's MLB analyst Jen Smith. Once again, I want to thank all the listeners who make Locked On Blue Jays your first listen of the day. Jen, we talked about Espinal, we talked about Biggio. Quickly before we sort of look big picture, Braylon Valera, Kevin Smith, some of those other names that you mentioned, probably not going to get the starting job, but did you see anything from anyone else that stood out to you when you were looking back at the stats and looking back at their 2021 seasons that may indicate, look, maybe they might get a shot at maybe being a backup role or what have you?
Well, Kevin Smith is interesting because, you know, he did really well in AAA this past season. So he was named to the minor league East All-Star team. He was also named the Bison's team MVP last season. In 94 games, he slashed 285, 370, 561 with a weighted runs created plus of 144. So, you know, clearly he had shown something with his bat at the minor league level. At the major league level, it was a different story this past season, right? He was essentially a black hole at the plate. His batting average was .094, which, you know, I mean, again, it's a very small sample size. It was only 18 games. But, you know, it's clear that his bat still needs development. Defensively, you know, I think that there's something there with the glove. I think that he could be, you know, potentially an above average third baseman, but he needs some development with the bat before he's going to see any regular playing time at the major league level.
And then Braylon Valera. I mean, this is someone that I remember during the run, like when the Blue Jays were doing really well. He was sort of, you know, he was quietly like, people were sort of, you know, tweeting about him. Like, people were liking what he was doing. Now, again, small sample size, probably not going to be, you know, when you think about maybe the starter. But the thing about Valera was he was exciting. And yeah. I think there were some, you know, like there was something there. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. He can play different positions, so he can, you know, he can fill in on any given day at a couple of different, you know, spots around the diamond, which is always of value. And ultimately, you know, he actually put up like I mean, very, very small positive value in F4, but he did put up a positive value, right? In just, you know, he started 17 games at third base. And, you know, I don't think, as you said, like, he's definitely not an everyday player. The good thing about this right now for the Blue Jays is that they do have some internal options.
Sure.
So, you know, if, right. So if they are able to upgrade the position this off season, they have multiple guys who can step into the role and at the minimum be serviceable if, you know, whoever they acquire, let's say, were to get suffer an injury. Right. Like, yeah. Like George Springer did last season, you know? So, you know, ultimately they're actually in a pretty good position for third base from that perspective.
Well, that's a very good point because you can't have enough at a certain position, right? It's actually sort of similar to catcher in a way, only that third base is actually like even more important. I would argue anyway, like you got defense, you know, the bat is a lot more important at third base than as a catcher, but you're absolutely right. I mean, like the fact of the matter is you had six different Blue Jays, as we said off the top, playing at least nine games at the hot corner. You know, you have the existing internal options, you know, Espinal, Smith, Valera. That's just very important, you know, from a development standpoint and to just see, right? But I think the big thing here is the Blue Jays are going to do something this offseason. Like, you know, Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins are going to be working the phones, assuming the CBA deal gets signed and normal offseason operations can happen. Hopefully it starts, you know, soon, but not holding my breath on that. But what it does, Jen, if you're in that position, are you looking more at free agency to go after third baseman, or are you thinking more the trade market to try to find someone, like we have said over and over on this pod, who can not only provide the really good defense, but can be that different hitter in the Blue Jays lineup?
Yeah, that's difficult to answer right now, simply because, as I said, they have these other holes that they also have to fill, right? And almost only so much money and so many, you know, prospects that they're going to be willing to package up and trade away. So, you know, what opportunities end up presenting themselves at these other positions, how much money do they end up spending, or what prospects do they end up trading away? Like, all of that is hard to tease out because we're talking about the need to upgrade more than one position. You know, obviously they've been linked quite heavily to Jose Ramirez. You know, we've talked about it already on the podcast in terms of the potential trade that fell apart at the deadline, where Cleveland wanted Kirk and others and the Blue Jays said no. And maybe that gets revisited at this point, right? Like, the nice thing about that is that, you know, the Jays felt that they were in a position last season that they, whatever fully was being asked for Ramirez, they felt the cost was too high and they weren't in a position of total desperation, right? If they were, then they probably would have made that trade. So now here we are in the off season and they do have these internal options. They did not give in at the deadline to those, you know, trade demands. So maybe something like that gets revisited.
Right. And I think the interesting thing, though, is, and this is something where you wish you were just a fly on the wall in these front office meetings, is which of the moves in the offseason do they consider to be like the highest priority, right? Is it the pitching? Is it replacing Marcus Semien? Is it the third base? Where do they rank the third base? Because again, like, I think it's an important point to say again. They won 91 games with the revolving door. Now, I don't think that's ideal, and I wouldn't suggest repeating that, but it'd be interesting to see from the front office, like, look, do we address the pitching and maybe the Marcus Semien replacement issue over third base in the offseason and punt maybe getting a third baseman until the deadline? Because, of course, we knew there was a deadline trade out there. It didn't work, obviously. Or do they value that third base position? And do they think that getting someone there, an everyday third base starter with then maybe a revolving door of backups, right? Espinal, Valera, whatnot. Is that going to be the answer? To me, that's very fascinating. Like, that's very fascinating where they rank the priority of third base this offseason. And do they think that's something that they must address? Or can they punt it down the road if maybe other needs are more pressing?
Right. And my guess is that they don't necessarily feel the absolute need to address it. Right. Because as I said, they did not make that trade at the deadline. They went with what they had and, you know, won their 91 games. So, you know, if you're looking at it, obviously they have to get a starting pitcher. They should probably get two, right? That cannot be, you know, understated right there. And then they either need to do something with second base or with third base. So it is entirely possible, depending on how much money they end up spending on these other upgrades, these other positions that they need to fill, it's entirely possible that they do start the season with Espinal at third base and, you know, with the intent of making a trade if necessary.
Yeah, and I personally would be okay with starting Espinal at third base if they made those other moves, right? If they got up, you know, a good starting pitcher, two, as you suggested, or someone to maybe replace Marcus Semien or whatnot. Like that to me would make me more comfortable than let's say maybe they fell through on that and then they didn't address third base. Like, I think eventually it's going to get addressed. Like, I think eventually, if the Blue Jays have any sights, you know, contending, winning championships, which is what they do, that position needs to be filled by someone who's an everyday third baseman. But as we wrap this up, I think it's very important to understand that, look, like, there's some teams that A, don't even have an everyday third baseman, and then B, don't have viable internal options. So you got to remember that for the Blue Jays, like, it's good that they have these options. We've reiterated that on this podcast. I'm really excited about Santiago Espinal. I mean, again, I know it comes with a lot of risk in terms of, you know, a 7.81 OPS, which he posted this year. Can that be sustainable? Comes with a lot of risk. But I think, again, eventually getting that everyday third baseman is going to be addressed, whether it's in the offseason or at the deadline, who knows. But I do think that the Blue Jays front office, they're excited about the third baseman that they had. Ross Atkins talked about it, but he said this: we don't have to do it, but it's an area where we can in terms of making improvements. So keep that in mind as we make our way through the offseason. Jen, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me at baseball_Jen, and that is Jen with two N's.
That is great. That is MLB analyst Jen Smith. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for making Locked On Blue Jays your first listen every day. Again, we're going to be continuing these player review episodes. We're then going to be getting into, though, which I'm really excited about, talking about free agency, talking about trades, talking about free agent targets, trade targets that the Blue Jays should explore. So please keep your ears peeled for that. You don't want to miss those episodes. Now make your second listen Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call him Sully. He brings you his unique perspective on the major leagues, past and present. It's free and available on all platforms. Locked On Blue Jays is free and available on all platforms, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find Locked On Blue Jays. All right, everyone, thank you so much for listening. For this episode of Locked On Blue Jays, I'm your co-host, Lucas Weiss. We'll see you again soon.